Hello, what's up, you all? Welcome to Benzinga's Cannabis Insider Podcast. I'm very happy to be here. As you know, here we delve into the dynamic world of cannabis, bringing you the latest insights from industry leaders. I'm your host today, Pato Patricio Little. Not the usual face here, as you know. We usually have Javi and Elliot Lane here, but we're going through some changes here. I don't want to spoil anything, but you'll be seeing some new faces really soon. And well, to anyone keen on cannabis industry trends and investments, I promise you a very interesting interview today. So let's get started. All right. Well, joining us today, we have a very special guest. As I said, we have Cameron Clark, CEO of Canna, which is part of Thunderstorm, a leader in quality cannabis products. And we'll be discussing Canna's recent expansion to Thailand and the Thai market, the burgeoning Asian cannabis market. And of course, we'll be talking about the complexities of navigating it. And so without further introduction, let's dive in. Hello, Cameron. Welcome to Cannabis Insider Podcast. I'm very happy to have you here.
Glad to be here. Happy to share what we're learning out in the industry.
All right. So to start off, I just want to comment that here in Buenos Aires, where I'm located, we have a temperature of 39 degrees right now. So I guess we are in a pretty close mood to Thailand's temperature. I think that's good context for the interview. So for starting, my first question to you, with kind of products now available in Thailand, how do you anticipate this expansion will influence the company's global market strategy?
Yeah, so we're not quite launched in Thailand yet, but it's imminent. We should be ready to go in about a month. So we're super excited about that. Let me just give you a little bit of background. So a little over a year ago, in Q4 of 2022, we had the opportunity to meet a potential partner. I went to Thailand, went for to the first Hemp Asia show where they were promoting hemp and cannabis, and learned about the opportunity there. We signed an MOU with our partner there, and we've been working for the last year really to put all that together, to get our facility built and get production underway and get sales underway. So we're super excited about that opportunity. And, you know, the way we see it is Thailand is an opportunity for us as a domestic market, but it's also a great opportunity for us through export opportunities to access the global cannabis market. So I think that's what's really one of the key drivers for us in this decision to invest over there.
Mm-hmm. And what is left for you to consider Canna's launched officially in Thailand?
Yeah, we're just finishing up the construction of the facility, right? We are working with the Thai FDA for all the approvals, making sure that the facility has all the requirements, and we've already defined the products and packaging and all of that. So we're almost ready to go. So it's imminent, right? The market over there is a little bit confusing, right? It's about a year and a half ago, the Thai government descheduled cannabis and allowed almost anybody to apply for a very simple license that didn't cost anything or cost some nominal fee for them to be able to get into the industry, either as a cultivator or a retailer or manufacturer, what have you. So there were many, many folks, both expats and also locals that applied for these licenses and set up shop. And now there are probably 5,000 to 6,000 or 7,000 retailers throughout Thailand. In the interim period, there's been an election and the new government has been brought forth. And over the course of last summer, there was a lot of uncertainty about how the new government would implement the new cannabis regulations, because the cannabis regulations were never implemented by the previous government. So, you know, there was a lot of concern about that. And the current government has said they're going to dial it back from a fully recreational market to something a little bit more of a medical market. I think it, you know, could look a little bit like California Prop 215 days, maybe something like that. But it remains to be seen. So we're waiting for the regulations to come out, but it doesn't really impact us so much because, you know, for us, we our partners have the medical licenses and they've had them since, you know, 2018, 2019 timeframe. And, you know, we, with those licenses, we already have medical clinics and doctors on staff that can, you know, recommend cannabis for their patients. And so we will be doing that. And then we also have the ability to export. So it's a little bit confusing, but it, you know, in the next, you know, 3 to 6 months, I think it's going to stabilize and we'll know exactly how that market will evolve.
Right. And for what I've read, you are planning to produce products inside Thailand to sell to the Thai market, right?
That's correct. Yes. Yeah. We're setting up the full facility there. Our partners already have cultivation. So, you know, we will be able to brand Kana beyond just edibles and, or, you know, are developing other types of products. So, yeah, we have all kinds of plans over there.
That must be very exciting. And could you share your insights on the unique characteristics and potential of the Thai cannabis and hemp market, especially given that it's expected, a really big annual growth there?
You know, I think it's a little unknown how it's all going to evolve, but you know, anybody in this industry is used to a dynamic market and things that change quickly. So, you know, for us, we just see it as an opportunity. But the way we characterize it for our own business is, you know, we're already one of the top edible brands in the U.S. and top brands in the U.S. We're known throughout the country, even though we're not in quite as many markets as we would like to be. But you know, our brand is absolutely well known. And now we have the opportunity to expand to the global market. So for us, we see access to a Thai domestic market where you have approximately 70 million people. You also have the potential for the medical tourism and that market, which is, you know, tourism is another 25 to 40 million people, depending on pre-COVID or post-COVID. So that's a significant amount of tourists. And they're developing a medical tourism market for cannabis behind that, right? That's starting to be to develop now. And then on top of that, you have the global export market, which is really mostly a medical market today. But that will evolve, I think, to recreational markets, you know, over the next 5 or so years as you know, certain countries come on stream. So for us, you know, one of the challenges we face in the U.S. is we have to set up facilities in every state, and we only have access to that individual state, right? And because we don't do licensing deals, we actually have to go in and build the facility out and work with a partner and all of that. It's very capital intensive. So we're doing the exact same thing with our partnership with THCG in Thailand, where we're sharing the cost, but then we also have access to the global market. I think that's going to be a huge chance for us to build one of the first truly global brands.
And yeah, and about that, can you discuss a little bit about kind of strategy for exporting products from Thailand to the world market? And I don't know, maybe what are the regions you are targeting first?
Yeah, so I think it's interesting, right? The you know, when I canvass the global market, it's still in many ways in its infancy. Like I said, it's very medically oriented. We were all hoping that Germany would be unveiled a recreational market, you know, last year. That didn't quite happen. They slowed it down by a few years. So we'll see how that evolves. But we know that will evolve. And so we absolutely have our sights on Europe. We know that other, MSOs and big cannabis companies have been playing in Europe for a while. And they have their, you know, they understand the value of the European market. I think we're going to have a huge cost advantage on developing products and producing products in Thailand, exporting them to Europe. So, you know, we're very, very keen to get our products, certified and compliant and be able to export from Thailand to Europe. We also see opportunities in other markets such as Australia. So we're looking at that. And I think, you know, that Australia is kind of an interesting market. I call it a recreational market masquerading as a medical market because it's got a lot of recreational consumers who are getting their medical cards, et cetera. And we're very familiar with that in California back in the Prop 215 days. Right. And so that's going to be interesting. But even in Brazil, right, we see Brazil moving along. And so I think there's opportunities for us to look at South America. So, you know, our products are typically have been mostly kind of recreationally oriented in the U.S., although we're very keen on the medical aspects of cannabis. And we've had historically a number of medical products in our history. And so I'm very happy to supply more medically oriented products for the global market. And we're working on those right now. We have always been a science-based company, and we use technology and science to make sure that our products are consistent and reliable and safe across the board. And so because we know that medical consumers need these products, and, you know, the global market that we're going to be moving towards is no different. So, but we'll need to brand our packaging a little bit differently. We'll need to come out with some new product categories that will be ingestibles, but will be more medically oriented. And we're excited to do that because we know that what's inside the package is going to be amazing and will work for a variety of types of consumers.
I would love to see those gummies here in Argentina. So I'll be waiting here in South America for your products. I really relate to what you were saying about Australia, because here in Argentina, we have exactly the same problem. We have a huge medical cannabis market that actually holds like 70% of the users, which are recreational users. So yeah, it's kind of a similar situation in a lot of countries in the south of the world. So actually going back, related to the topic, but going back to the recreational cannabis market dynamics, what are your thoughts on the potential rollback in the recreational cannabis market in Thailand? And if you think it could have any implications for the broader cannabis reform in Asia?
You know what, I just see it as a filter. I just see it as a filter. You know, without any filter, you have, you know, anybody has access to it. They have a small filter today, no pregnant women, no one under 21, so they want to make sure that no youth have access to cannabis. So that's pretty much the filter that exists today. You know, they're going to dial it back into a little bit more of a medical program, but that doesn't mean that tourists can't have access to medical cannabis. And so, you know, we discussed a lot of that at the Hemp Asia show, which just finished about a month ago in Thailand. And there was a lot of discussion about that. Folks from other countries around the world were interested to come to Thailand and bring their medical clients there for cannabis treatment, etc. So, you know, I think that even though it's going to be dialed back a little bit and be a little bit more of a medical market, that doesn't mean that tourists will not have access to it. So I see it as just kind of a filter, and we don't know exactly what that filter is going to look like. But I do know that Thailand is the first country in Asia to legalize. There'll be all kinds of access, for other Asian countries to come to Thailand and get what they need. And so it's booming already. It's going to continue to boom, and it's a great opportunity for us, and will help us build one of the first truly global cannabis brands. And that's our mission.
Exactly. Yeah, you have quite a challenge and quite a prize. So actually, I from what we were just talking about the medical cannabis market and its differences with the recreational market, are there any innovative approaches you can share with us regarding the development of new cannabis products, maybe like in the edibles sector, maybe vapes, pre-rolls?
Yeah. So for us, you know, we have traditionally been mostly an ingestibles type of company, right? We had very medically oriented tinctures back in the day that were all nanotechnology. We were the very first company in the industry to introduce nanotechnology in 2015. it, you know, fast acting and reliable has been a part of our, you know, one of our mantras from day one, and we will continue to do that. So everything we do in Thailand will be nanotechnology, will be fast acting. We believe we're using the best nanotechnology available, and it's proven, it's been around for decades. So it is used in nutraceuticals all over the globe, actually. So I think that's very important to have that good science-based technology integrated into our products. But we're also going to be expanding into other product categories like soft gels and probably back into tinctures a little bit. There'll be more of these kind of medically oriented products. So, that's kind of, you know, where we're heading. But, you know, there's plenty of flower consumers, too, that that use cannabis in a medical fashion, for sure. And so we'll probably play in that world a little bit as well.
Okay. Thank you very much. That's very interesting. And I was actually reading a couple of the articles before our interview about cannabis product innovation. So, yeah, that was really interesting to hear from you. And
I think it's really important to talk about this because, cannabis is a plant. You know, as a plant, it's got all kinds of compounds in it. It's very important to have this rich set of compounds. We all know that the entourage effect is real and it's very powerful. And I think there's incredible value in that. But I also think that on the flip side, when consumers are talking about medical products, they need consistency, right? You know, if you've got some medical condition and you find something that works, you got to make sure that that product, whether you buy it today or 6 months from now, or you buy it in California or you buy it in Massachusetts, it's going to be exactly the same, right? And because you need that product to work the way it worked, you know, 6 months previously. So that consistency, safety, and reliability is crucially important for all of our products and how we view the world. And I think that's, you know, that's an important aspect here, especially as we build a global brand. You know, we find that licensing is really difficult. When you license your brand, you don't have the guarantee that that product is the same, right? And we test everything religiously across the board in all of our facilities. And if a product is not within our tight specifications, that product does not get put on the shelves. We are very, very careful and particular about that. And I think that's, you know, that's something that we can say to our consumers, that we stand by our products and we would not put anything into their bodies that we wouldn't put in our own bodies, right? And so, I want to make sure that is really a lot of the science and the nanotechnology and the fast acting, all of that really plays into this overall philosophy that we have as a company.
No, that's great. Great to hear because, really for medical patients, accurate dosing is really one of the most important things to have in mind when choosing a cannabis product and maybe developing loyalty to a brand. So, that's really...
Yeah, and it's not just the way to say it, right? It's all the compounds and everything that goes into it, yeah. Right? Like, when we're adding terpenes, right, we got to make sure that they're absolutely consistent, right? When we're adding other types of compounds, right, it's got to be the same every time, no matter where it's produced.
And going now to looking kind of from an investor's perspective, what makes the company a compelling choice in the current cannabis market landscape?
Yeah, I think that for us, we built this company to scale, right? And we've invested heavily over the years in our infrastructure and our SOPs and our systems to make sure that this business can scale. But also, it's been very important for us to make sure that we have a cost structure that is tightly managed. And I think what we're seeing today is very similar to what we saw in the dot-com bust, particularly in California, is you're seeing a number of companies not make the cut because they haven't managed their cost structures appropriately, right? And I think, you know, I see statistics that, you know, less than 5% of the industry is actually profitable. We are profitable. We've been profitable for a while. You know, we drive towards profitability every single month. We focus on our cost structure. We have a very sophisticated ERP that we have implemented where we know the cost of every single gummy that comes out of our, or we call it package of gummies that comes out of our, out of any of our facilities. We know the cost every step of the way along the production, along the distribution line. And it's not average costing. And if we see that something's out of spec on the cost structure, we work to dial that cost structure in. And so we have, you know, often in excess of 60% gross margin on our products. And that really, I think, is from an investor's perspective, is hard to find in this industry. And I think it's super important. And we drive towards that. So, you know, managing your cost structure, being profitable, making sure that we have all the systems in place to scale is super important, right? So, you know, we're launching in two new states in the U.S. right now. We're launching in Thailand. There's no way that we could do that if we didn't have systems in place and an ERP and all that to manage all those, you know, all those different locations. So, and I think that's really why the investors should be focused on companies like ours. And I think what we're seeing today is a world where the winners and losers are kind of separated, right? And I appeal to the investors that this is a great time to get into the industry. You know, many of whom are actually running for the hills right now. But I really think that it's much easier to see who's going to win, right, over the long haul here. And I would absolutely say that we're one of those companies, and we're excited to drive towards the future. And I tell my team, now is the time for us to hit the pedal to the metal and drive hard. Because we can, and we're excited to do so. We have a great team in this company to build Kana to that truly global national brand I mentioned earlier.
Right. Yeah, it's great to feel you are into good momentum and with the right team. So, Cameron, I'm really thankful for your time. I just have two more questions here to make you. One, looking more to the future, what emerging trends in the cannabis industry do you believe that will significantly impact investing and business strategies within the next 5 years?
Yeah, I think that's a loaded question. You know, I say from a global basis, absolutely the expansion of the medical market, right? It's happening. And by the way, for us, you know, we're also expanding into hemp in the global markets. We can do that. We can do that from Thailand. So we'll have access to markets like Japan that don't allow THC, but certainly allow CBD and other cannabinoids, right? So that's important. So I think the expansion of the global medical market is going to happen, going to continue to happen, you know, at a healthy pace. I also think that the global recreational market will also continue to grow, but, you know, slowly. But I think that will, you know, once the stigma starts to go away and evolves, like, you know, various countries will recognize that the cannabis is here to stay, and the recreational consumer is important. So that's a big one. I think in the U.S. we're struggling with a variety of factors right now. Right, we have a licensed cannabis market which is struggling right now because we have competition from the hemp market, and the illicit market is still a big factor, you know, and the federal government isn't helping at all. So we have all these little pockets that are all evolving completely differently, and so I think that is a challenge that we all face in this industry, and that is slowly going to go away as things start to kind of merge together, and I think that will happen. I think once the stigma starts, you know, and the stigma is dropping, right? One thing the hemp market is doing is helping a lot of folks realize that there's nothing wrong with having cannabis on the day-to-day, the everyday shelf. If you look at what's happening in Minnesota, you know, you have cannabis beverages in grocery stores, right? Well, mm-hmm. that is showing the consumer that it's not bad to have a cannabis, a Delta 9 drink, you know, in a grocery store or a liquor store, right? So, mm-hmm. So I think that is starting to help kind of drive things together. The markets feel very separate today, but I think they will slowly begin to evolve together into kind of one kind of national cannabis market. But we're going to need a little bit of support from the federal government to allow us to build our businesses accordingly. So it's going to take a while. I'm not predicting any time frames on any of this. I just start to, I'm seeing the, that this kind of, this is in its infancy. And I think that's where we're headed.
Thank you. And the last one, and you can not reply this one, but what advice would you give to entrepreneurs looking to enter the cannabis industry and maybe particularly an emerging market like Thailand?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think in this industry, a lot of folks have just focused really on product. You know, what is the cool new widget that I can put out this month, right? How do I create something that is hot and exciting and innovative, right? And I think they're forgetting one of the most important pieces of which we know from CPG, consumer packaged goods, which is you got to build a brand. And a brand is really nothing more than trust between a manufacturer and the consumer. And it takes time to build that trust with the consumer, right? And I think that's, you know, one, that's an area where Kana has absolutely excelled, is that we have a lot of, you know, very, very happy and excited consumers about using our products and know that we produce, you know, the highest quality products in the industry. And so, you know, for us, I think that's been an important part of our equation from the very beginning. And I think that anybody looking to enter this industry now has to recognize that the game of just putting something in a simple package and putting it on the shelf, those days are over. You know, consumers are educated. They now want products they can trust. They're afraid of certain things that they don't know what's inside the package. And so, you know, they have to know from the brand why they should purchase that product and why they should connect with that brand. And I think that's really my single most important recommendation for new entrepreneurs coming into the space. Recognize that you have to have money for marketing. You have to figure out a strategy by which you can connect to the hearts and minds of the consumers.
Exactly. Thank you very much. This is being as interesting as I thought it would be. As a Muay Thai fighter, I would love to go to Thailand sometime. And also to taste those amazing gummies there. So Cameron, I really want to thank you for your time here. Again, all your answers have been really interesting. And I think not only for me, but also for our audience. And I hope you are back here anytime soon.
Sounds great. Happy to chat anytime. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And well, I'm Pato Little. Thank you very much for joining us today. And we'll be back with more updates on Cannabis Insider. See you next time.